All right, welcome to the first episode of Sources from the Sofa Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Rome. We also have Hollywood Aaron Toler, our picks guru for sports betting, and also coach Jason Zinke. Little background story, we all used to be on the radio about 18 years ago. We were on the AM station for the Angels Network, so we're not complete idiots, but we're here to give you our unbiased takes, minus Aaron.
Come on, man. I give the best unbiased takes out there, man.
But today, for the first episode, we're going to be covering the NFL season as San Francisco has another fire alarm going by.
Another 49er down.
Another 49er down. IR.
Thanks, first San Francisco. Four games of the year.
I'm recording from San Francisco. Aaron's in the IE as well as Jason. So, where do you guys want to start, AFC or NFC?
Might as well start with the AFC.
Let's start with the AFC.
They won the Super Bowl last year, so let's go there.
Cool. Are you guys cool with doing over-unders for everyone and then maybe listing out number one through four in each division?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Let's do it. Let's start with the AFC North. I think the number one division in football, my favorite division, that also has my favorite team, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, that's why we start with the AFC. Okay, all right.
Hey, the host gets to choose where we choose. Where
it's
we
also host. Go ahead.
We're 1 minute in from unbiased sports takes. We're going to go to his favorite team and his favorite division.
Exactly.
I'll be real honest with my team. But, I think it's the toughest division outside of possibly the NFC West. But Ravens, Bengals, Browns, Steelers. Who do you guys got winning the division?
I got the Bengals. I think the Bengals are going to bounce back this year in a big way. Defense is healthy. Got added a few more pieces on defense. I think most importantly, Joe Burrow, not injured coming out of camp. Obviously, you got the Chase saga going on, but they're my pick to rebound and win the division.
I think the Ravens, tried and true, they're always going to be in the contention. The defense is always going to be solid. Lamar is always going to be making plays. I think this is an organization that's always at the top of this division. I think Bengals bounce back, like Aaron says, but they have to prove that they can keep him healthy. I don't think he's had an offensive line in front of him that's been able to keep him healthy or upright. Even the Super Bowl year, the offensive line was the biggest question mark. So I don't think the Browns and or the Steelers will be in contention. I think it's a two-man race. Sorry, Rome. But if you got two quarterbacks, you don't have one, and Russell or Justin Fields are not going to be the answer to them in there. So I think it'd be a two-man race, but I think the Ravens are going to win the division.
So we'll come to the Steelers a little bit, but Ravens and Bengals are both at 10.5 for the over. I actually think the Ravens will be over. I'm not so sure whether the Bengals will either be at the 10 or 11 win mark, but I got potentially two AFC North teams as the wild cards. With the Bengals, they've had slow starts every season, especially with Joe Burrow, but his wrist has been looking shaky. So if he goes down, that whole season's over. They really don't have anybody else behind him besides Chase as like a really star player. Ravens have the fourth toughest schedule, and they lost a lot of free agents this past year. So aside from the pickup of Derrick Henry, what do they got going?
Well, the Ravens lost a ton of pieces from both their defense and offense. And if you look at really just coaching staff, losing your defensive coordinator, they lost a lot of other coaches that took jobs, position coaches elsewhere. I think the Ravens are in the mix. This division could go either way. Lamar's two-time MVP. The running game looks to be an upgrade with Derrick Henry. The O-line's good. The wide receivers are talented. Defensively, they're good. Defensive line, they did lose a good linebacker, Queen, to your Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers loading up on defense but forgetting the other side of the ball. But we'll get into the Steelers here in a bit. For the Ravens, it comes down to, can they regroup losing all the pieces they lost in the coaching staff and their offensive line coach? May he rest in peace, just passed away about a week ago, I believe.
A week ago, yeah. That's crazy.
That could be an underrated loss. Offensive coaches, especially offensive line coaches, are underrated both in collegiate and the NFL level. That's a really important position coach for both teams. I like the Ravens, too. I think they're a playoff team. Lamar's going to be in the hunt. Again, for the Ravens, it's can they get over the hunt and win big games? They open the season tomorrow at KC. Winning there would go a long ways and towards possibly winning this division again.
I think Ravens actually open up with a win tomorrow.
I think you already got to it now, but I think
yeah, you basically.
I like defending Super Bowl champions. Generally, you know, generally it's a tough game coming off where it's at. I think, you know, Ravens on the road, I think they generally lose, I think, a lot of pieces. If you look at, you know, John Harbaugh's entire era there, like they're always getting plucked for coaches. They're always kind of going through players and taking what could be a cast off from another organization that becomes an impact player. As a Bears fan, they take Roquan Smith and, you know, anchors the middle of that defense there, and they always kind of plug and play. From a weapon standpoint, I think, when they lost Hollywood Brown a couple of years ago, that was the biggest thing. But you got Zay Flowers. Can he be an impact player on that side? Money. And then Mark Andrews coming back, you know, from his injury, you know, tried and true, right over, let's get 10 yards at a time, you know, dink it and dunk it down the field when Lamar's not escaping the pocket. So I think they always have answers. I think some of the scouting in that thing, there's always guys that you never heard of that they're going to come through. They're going to be, you know, guys that make significant playing time. So I think that's where it's at.
For the rest of the division, you got the Browns. They had one of the top defenses last year, but they got Deshaun Watson, man. He hasn't looked the same since everything that's happened in Houston. I think it's done. I was listening to something the other day where he was like 5-1 in the games that he did play last year, but the games that I watched, it didn't look that great. So that is that a deceiving 5-1? Is that Browns defense going to even come back the same? And lead into that, I think my Steelers with the revamped defense might have like that Browns season that they had last year and have maybe like a top five defense in the NFL and just shut teams down this year. What do you guys think?
I mean, Cleveland's going to have a good defense. They're going to need to rely on it. Defense is what Cleveland is their strength. I mean, obviously they're going to run the ball. Nick Chubb is out the first four games on the PUB list. But they've got talent on the outside. I mean, Deshaun Watson, that's the big question mark. We haven't really seen him perform or play well at a high level from basically since around COVID. And, you know, he's already got shoulder issues. They're already kind of nurturing him in, bring him along slowly. They start with the Cowboys. That's a big game on Sunday, home game, a game they're favored, a game they need to win, given all the turmoil the Cowboys have had this off season and training camp. But, yeah, I think the question is, when you look at that division, the two things we know, if Lamar's healthy, Joe Burrow's healthy, those teams are good. Cleveland, they got Watson. They spend a lot of money on him. Joe Flacco's not there to rescue him. And as Jason mentioned, the Steelers, it's a ring around the circus there at quarterback. You know, who's the third string guy? Who's the guy they can bring off the practice squad? I think the Steelers could start 3 or 4 quarterbacks this year.
It's no shade on the Steelers, but I mean, you know, at least Mike Tomlin's going to deliver a 9-8 season. Like, the man does not have losing seasons, so he's going to pull through whatever he can to, you know, bring them through. But, you know, I agree with Aaron. I think, you know, Russell's going to start the season. I think Fields is going to be in there. And then, yeah, there could be a third quarterback at some point that's going through. There's just been no consistency in the position. And, you know, whatever's around them from an offensive perspective, they do running back by committee. Basically, at this point, there's no one true, you know, running back they have there between Najee and Warren. But I think it's a team that's probably finishing both good. I was like, but like, you know, is it going to be good enough from a playmaker standpoint around, you know, what they have? I think Cleveland, going back to them was your first question. You know, I agree with Aaron at that point, like no Joe Flacco, but at the same time, the defense is going to keep them in ball games. But if you're matching, you know, year to year, the one thing most people are going to tell you is defense doesn't translate year to year all the time. I think you got a good pass rush that you're going to have, but is the rest of it going to be able to keep them in ball games? And then, yes, it's a tough division. I think it's probably, like, I agree with Rome, I don't know if it's the best division, especially the toughest division.
Definitely
the
toughest, yeah.
Because you got, you know, four teams that put a lot into defense every year, and every game, it, you know, is a grounded out in the north of the country, especially when you get late in the season and the weather's bad.
Cold weather, yeah. So last year, Ravens finished 13-4, followed by the Browns 11-6, Steelers at third, 10-7, snuck into the playoffs, and Bengals were 9-8. I don't think the Browns are going to replicate the success that they had last year.
I think the Browns are about a 9-8 team. I know Jason mentioned it. I've never been one to go against Tomlin. I know every year he's finished above 500. I think the Steelers finished below 500 this year. I think this is the year they finished below 500. I think they're 7-10 team. 8-9 if they're fortunate.
I'm a little torn with the Steelers because I don't want to see another year with quarterback committee and watching another 10-13 game, a 17-14 game drawn out. Don't know what quarterbacks will be playing day in and day out. But I do think they're going to hit the over 8.5 for them. I got the Browns over 8.5 for them. Bengals, depending, that's kind of like a maybe don't touch thing because they're at the 10.5. Ravens are definitely going to go over 10.5, maybe 11, 12 win season.
Ravens feel like 11 win team. I think since he's right there, they could go 10, they could go 11. Cleveland, what's their over under? 8.5?
8.5, them and the Steelers.
Yeah, I think Cleveland probably gets 9. I think Steelers get 8.
So you're going under?
I'm going under Steelers. I mean, I never go against Tomlin. I've always backed him. But this year, I'm not high on him, man. I'm not high on him.
I'll switch it from Aaron. I would take the Steelers over the Browns under. Like Aaron, you talked about, and Rome talked about, like our history. Think about the last time we recorded any sort of audio, Aaron was talking about who the hotshot defensive coordinator from Minnesota was. And since the time we recorded this last podcast, the man hasn't had a losing season as head coach of the Steelers. So, I mean, that's how you know he's going to come through. Whatever happens to this team, they're going to lose. They're going to have injuries. But they're going to sneak some, like, 13-10 game out on a Thursday night, like in the middle of whatever, that you're not going to be surprised on.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, I don't want to go against Tomlin and in the under 8.5, but I'm going to. I think there's time. I mean, Pittsburgh's been living on the edge for the last 3-4 years. Every time we think they're done, they find a way to win like 3 out of their last 4. Are they like 8-3? They lose 5 in a row, and you're like, oh man, they're done, and they sneak into the playoffs.
Yeah,
I think this is a wake up call for Pittsburgh that, you know, they need to stop playing around, get a franchise quarterback. Commit money to a quarterback, not these under $2 million per year quarterbacks that they got on the roster right now. I'm going under.
You're going under on the Steelers. Okay. Who do you guys got winning the division?
As I Ravens. Mentioned, Cincinnati.
Aaron got the Bengals. Jason got Ravens.
So I got Cincinnati winning, followed by Baltimore, Cleveland, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh last. You're full of shit, dude. It's a fucking joke. All right. Love it. Do you guys know the Super Bowl odds for the Ravens, or do you guys want to make any predictions on that, or we'll come back to that when we talk about some other contenders?
We'll do all divisions, and then we can look at playoff teams who we like. Robin already knows my Super Bowl matchup, but yeah.
You know what? I'm kind of agreeing on some things, actually. Only on one pick.
Okay. So you're coming too, man. My wisdom's starting to wear off on you then.
Okay.
Great. I gotta have a dissenting opinion if you guys are already agreeing on everything in the first episode here.
It's not a good look. No, actually, we're not bad when we agree on something. You know, it's usually a winning pick. So let's right. See. AFC South. You guys wanna do that?
Yeah, let's do it.
AFC South. I think this is pretty like cut and dry for me. You got Texans, Jaguars, Colts, Titans. I think the top two teams have some promise, bottom two. Not so much. Titans definitely in last place in that division. Texans, I have winning the division coming out. They're at a 9.5 on the over. I got a really comfortable over for them. Jaguars over for them at 8.5 as well. But let's start from there.
Yeah, so for the AFC South, as you mentioned, I think it is a two-team division race with the Texans and Jaguars. Indy showed some promise last year with Richardson, but he's still raw. He only started 13 games in college, and what I think he only made it through the first month last year.
Pretty raw.
I haven't
talented.
Really watched him play a lot in the preseason, but can he stay healthy? We know he's just a guy he's super ultra talented, but he takes a lot of chance. He takes a lot of risk. He's got to get down. He's got to slide. He's got to get out of bounds. Can't be taking on 250-pound linebackers. Your shoulder's going to go out like it did last year. And Tennessee, new coach. Basically new staff all around, a lot of new players they brought in on defense and offense, so it looks like they are committed to bringing in some players. And then Jacksonville, who seemingly had the division wrapped up last year before Trevor Lawrence got hurt, and then they just kind of like tanked. Their defense got tired, they fell apart late in the year. And then Houston, as you mentioned, CJ Stroud, they added Diggs at the wideout, added some good pieces on defense too, so they're going to be tough. So, I mean, I've got Houston winning that division, but I don't think that division is going to be as easy as people kind of think it looks like on paper right now.
Yeah, I hate to make this uninteresting, but I agree with Aaron pretty much on that. I think Houston's the class of the division. I think they proved it last year. Jacksonville, I haven't bought Trevor Lawrence being the guy that he was supposed to be at this point and take the team. Like, if you looked at, you know, as the irrational Bears fan, I was looking at his stats basically compared to Justin Fields forever and a day, talking about them being lined up as similar, you know, similar passing statistics early on in their career. So if this is the guy that the Bears, you know, push aside Justin Fields for, and Trevor Lawrence is giving similar, you know, similar stats from the quarterback position, like, how are we thinking he's going to be out dueling in this division from Houston, who took such a huge step forward last year? You know, Tennessee, I don't think it's anyone's surprise that's the bottom of the division. But when it comes to Richardson from the Colts, like you guys said, ultra talented. But, you know, is he a better fantasy quarterback than versus us talking about the actual, like, play on the field? Hey, fun to watch. That's great. You know, but, you know, again, like, the ability to pass, taking too many chances. A lot of times, like, you play the 17-game schedule, you know, you're going to see a bunch of backups play. You know, how many games is he going to be able to play this year and continue to develop as a passer in the league? Because, I mean, that was a pick when they drafted him, a little bit of a reach, tons of athletic ability. But from a quarterback position play, like, in college, was there a ton of passing that he was known for? And I was more for his athletic ability, getting out of the pocket and making plays happen. Tough to do at the NFL level with that many, you know, that many games and taking that kind of beating if he's not doing what Aaron's talking about.
Yeah, I'm going to touch on Richardson. I mean, with Shane Steichen, we've seen what he's been able to do with quarterbacks in this league. I mean, he was Justin Herbert's rookie quarterback coach, OC. Best year Justin Herbert's had in his career, probably his rookie year. You saw what he did with Jalen Hurts, turning him around, making him an MVP caliber quarterback, getting that team to the Super Bowl. I think Shane Steichen is one of the better coaches out there. I think he was the perfect selection for Richardson to learn from. I think Richardson, if he could stay healthy, is going to take strides forward. But again, he's, like, you know, Jason said, he's green, man. He had 13 career starts in college, I think 4 in the pros. He's young, talented, arm strength, speed, power. Accuracy is kind of a question. But we'll see, man. I think Steichen has proven that he can turn quarterbacks into real players. And I think that's a real benefit for him and the Colts going forward.
Yeah, so last year, Texans obviously finished it, then followed by Jaguars, Colts, Titans. I actually think it's going to be the same order this year, and you can actually bet on it. It's plus 650 for that order, which I'm kind of digging on that.
So that's Texans, Jaguars,
Colts, and then Titans.
Plus 650?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's real nice. That's real nice. Enticing.
That's a really nice return. Texans, 9.5, which is kind of weird. They had 10 wins last year. I think Stroud's better. They're healthier. They got Joe Mixon. They beefed up some holes on both sides of the ball. So I easily got them winning maybe like 11, 12 games. Jaguars over under is 8.5. They won 9 last year with a banged up Lawrence. But as you guys said, he's talented, but who knows? You know, can he finish the whole season? They did beef up their O-line though. And I don't know. I'm kind of leaning towards like they might be like a surprise pick. Maybe like a potential wild card. So I got them on the over 8.5. I think they're a 9 or 10 win team. Colts, Titans, it's 8.5 and then 6.5 respectively. The Titans, new coach, Henry's gone. What else do they got to play for? I think it might be like a 4 or 5 win team over there.
I mean, they're definitely starting 0-1. So I can tell you that from that perspective.
I hope you're right, Jason. I hope you're right, man.
Who they play until week one?
They play the Chicago Bears. Oh. That's why you know the Titans are starting on.
That's why I'm telling Jason's going to be getting on that plane flight, no problem, drinking on that whiskey and Coke.
It's fine, man. It's the Titans.
It'll be a 2-touchdown lead by the time he boards.
Yeah, Titans might be in the running for one of the worst teams, so I wouldn't be too worried about that game.
I mean, Will Levis doing all these mayo commercials, man. He better hope he doesn't have any mayo on his hands when he gets sacked. Because
That ball
comes out pretty loose when you got a little mayo on those hands, man.
I mean, it could be a good strategy on the field. I mean, is anyone going to tackle him if he's smelling like mayo all around too? It could be a good strategy at that time too. So
it could be like some Vaseline, a little slick too. You don't just slip out of those tackles.
So do you guys agree? Texans, Jaguars, Colts, Titans in that order? Texans take it all?
Yeah, I guess that'd be chalk on the lines across the board, but I agree with you guys on that.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. And I mean, you got their over-under's 9.5. This is one of my, NFL locks of the year.
That's a lock. That's
Houston
definitely a lock.
Over 9.5 wins. Bet it big, bet it hard.
Okay. I think we should do that 650 pick too.
I like it, man. I think that's worth $50 action easy.
At least a couple hundred.
Whew. I like it too, man.
Yeah. I just don't see Jaguars doing better than the Texans. I don't see them doing worse than the Colts either. So,
yeah, I mean, like you said, I think Jacksonville's kind of the wild card team here. They're talented on offense. They upgraded their offensive line. They got tight ends. They got receivers. They got running backs. I like the new defensive coordinator they brought in from Atlanta. They're going to be more aggressive.
I like their coach.
Yeah, I mean, he's a risk taker. He's a winner. He won a Super Bowl. Lawrence has won in the playoffs too. So I think Jacksonville's the only team that shakes up the division, if at all. I mean, I think, like we mentioned, Tennessee's 4 or 5 win team, maybe 6. I think the Colts of Richardson are they're borderline between 7 and 9 wins. I think they probably get 8. Jacksonville feels like a 10-win team to me, and I think the Texans are between 11 and 12.
Nice. We're in agreement on everything. That's crazy. Let's move on. You guys want to head east or the west?
Let's head east.
East. I'm kind of torn. I'm a big Josh Allen fan. You know, it sucks being a Steelers fan now because now my favorite quarterback is Joe Burrow. I was kind of rooting for the Bills. You know, I kind of do root for them in general now. But I think they might have missed their window for winning a Super Bowl. I think that might be gone. We're going to find out how good he is as a player now that they have pretty much depleted the whole roster. You know what? We didn't talk about them losing their wide receiver to the Texans. If there's any wild card of the Texans kind of season derailing, it's because they got that drama queen at wide receiver.
I think so. I think you know, Diggs going to them along with Mixon, which you mentioned, kind of backtracking here, though. But I think that's playmakers for a second-year quarterback that which you really
it's
want.
Money.
Well, you know, I think that's, you know, if we're going to go into a half hour later of me talking about the Bears, I think the Texans, you know, going that with the same thing is you get a quarterback on a rookie contract. That's when you're able to have kind of these additional tools that they can spend extra money on. So I really think, you know, Diggs was the game changer, you know, in Buffalo when he went over there to take Josh Allen to the next level. You know, and I think he'll do the same for Stroud. But as far as for Josh Allen right now, like this is that crucial, I think, part of a quarterback's career where can they make wide receivers versus getting the, you know, premier wide receiver for them? So, you know, what you give credit to Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady back in the day, you know, they were developing guys that were not seen at those, you know, top echelon wide receivers. They can let somebody go and they're going to develop someone behind them and make them a playmaker. You know, under the salary cap rules, you can only afford so many people. I think this would be a definite turning point for Josh Allen. Can he continue to have the success offensively with new guys? I think you're right. Like it could be a step back for them or, hey, this is how they can do what Kansas City does. You know, when they let Tyreek go and Mahomes is able to win 2 Super Bowls without, you know, one of the best players in the game. I think that's where Josh Allen's really have to prove himself now.
This is Josh Allen's time to prove whether or not, like Jason mentioned, he's up there with the Tom Brady's Mahomes. Can he get to the Hall of Fame? Josh Allen has always had talented players around him with Diggs. He also lost Davis to Jacksonville too, Gabe Davis. So he's lost both his top wideouts. So that's a lot of players to lose. You also got Joe Brady, who came in mid-season last year as the OC, now is a full-time OC. They lost some guys on their offensive line. They got some good tight ends, still got the running back Cooks. But yeah, as Jason mentioned, you know, great quarterbacks, you give them, you know, average wide receivers, they make them good. And that's what we're going to find out with Josh Allen is can he take these guys to the next level? There's talent there. The guy Keon Coleman, rookie out of Florida State, super athletic, strong, quick, could be, you know, one of the top 5 receivers taken in the draft this year. But for Josh Allen and Buffalo, I think this is a big step for his career and maturing. You know, he's going to have to be less of a risk taker, and I don't want to use the word like game management, but he's going to have to not take as many chances and be like, okay, hey, let me not force it here. Let me punt it. Let's play defense, have the defense get him off the field, get back out there and see if they can win games. So it's going to be an interesting year in Buffalo. They've got Arizona Cardinals starting at home. So it'll be an interesting week 1 matchup. For sure.
Yeah, Aaron mentioned James Cook. I think that's than what you see early on in the season until, you know, Keon Coleman and some of these other wide receivers can really prove themselves. Like, how much more do they mix into the running game versus what they were the past couple of years, where they were just very happy having, you know, pass happy offense, a lot of stuff going there, maybe a little play action there, but really didn't see a ton out of the running game. I think in James Cook's third year right now, you know, if we're getting into fantasy talk, you know, he's one that's kind of rising up the ranks there as, you know, kind of a late first, second round pick from a fantasy perspective. You know, they could see them feeding the ball a lot more to take pressure off this, especially when you get to those late December games in Buffalo where, you know, you can't be running around loose with the ball. Got to be able to protect it, control the clock, you know, and that could be some of the key for Buffalo this year.
Yeah, I mean, James Cook, we know, is going to run the ball a lot. We know Joe Brady wants to run the ball. Like Jason mentioned, I think James Cook's a good fantasy player to pick up. And Dalton Kincaid, second-year tight end out of Utah, he's going to get a lot of love, a lot of touches. Those are going to be Josh Allen's go-to guys as he starts to build more confidence and rapport with his new wide receiving core. So, you know, Buffalo could be one of those teams that gets off to a slow start. I mean, they've lost a lot of players on defense, too. It's going to be an interesting season coming up for Buffalo, for sure, and an interesting division.
It's a tough schedule to start, too, because you mentioned they start Arizona. That may be their easiest game in that first month, because then they're going to go at Miami. At Miami in September is, like, the absolute worst road game to play. It's going to be, like, 100 degrees with no shade on the sideline over there where everyone, like, in Miami, in Matt, the Dolphins are always going to be the September team. I know we'll get to that more in the AFC East, but, you know, they're going to be letting the ball thrown all over the field and putting up high-scoring offense in September. After that, Buffalo's going first in Jacksonville at home. Then they're playing at Baltimore, at Houston. So you look at that first, like, 5-6 games for Buffalo, you know, if they're coming out of it 3-3 after first six, that may be a win for them before they get later in the season. Because overall, like, they, you know, they're going to play San Francisco this year. They're going to play Kansas City. No, I think they're at home for Buffalo. They're at home for there. They're at the Rams, at Detroit, I think.
Oh, you're right.
And, yeah, but Buffalo has the 49ers at home. Nice. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at Buffalo's schedule. I'll break down more of their schedule here, but yeah, their schedule is brutal early. I'll get into it now. I think Arizona is going to beat them week one. I think that's my upset of the week in week one. I think the Cardinals are going to go in there and beat Buffalo week one. And looking at their schedule, I wouldn't be surprised if Buffalo starts 0-5. I know it's crazy to talk, but 0-5, I think, is a real possibility for Buffalo.
You're fucking crazy.
It's crazy, but it's not unrealistic. As I'm saying, the first six
games.
I'm looking at the
schedule. At Miami,
Arizona,
Jacksonville.
At Miami, Jacksonville. At
I mean, they got to beat. They got to beat Houston. Arizona and Jacksonville. They got at the Jets. I mean, jeez, dude.
Yeah,
it's a tough six game stretch to start for sure.
I mean, we'll get more into the division, but I don't have Buffalo making the playoffs this year. So
you don't. So no. Their over unders at 10.5. And
based off that schedule right now, pin me down for the under now.
You got the under?
Yeah.
I have the under as well. I got them as a 9 or 10 win team on the best case scenario. Jets are listed at 9.5. Do you got the winning the division, or you guys have Dolphins?
I think the Dolphins win the division. I'm a huge McDaniel fan. I think one of the best offensive coaches out there. Like I said, I think they're going to be throwing the ball all over the place, putting up huge offensive numbers in September and October and get out to a fast start. For them, it comes down to, do they have home field advantage as they go down to the playoffs? We saw last year when the weather was tough, a little bit harder to play. But, you know, this is an offense that you have two of the best wide receivers, one of the best wide receivers you're pairing in the league. And Yeah, I think they've added some depth in the running back, and McDaniel comes from that Shanahan kind of system where they're always going to have some guy that's going to potentially rush for 1,000 yards and go, but they could also throw the ball up and down. You know, Tua's health is going to be the thing to talk about, but, I mean, he played the entire season last year, and they were able to keep him healthy. So I think the Dolphins, you know, I think the first time in a very long time, I think you could say the Dolphins could be, you know, a player to potentially go to the Super Bowl. The Jets, I think people are going to be talking. Jets people are going to be talking about the Jets, but, you know, it takes one Aaron Rodgers injury, and, you know, they're in the toilet again too. So I know Aaron's, you know, going to be coming back looking for, you know, a big FU season after missing last year and what he's going to be wanting for. But I still think Miami is the class of that division right now.
See, I got the Jets. I think they're just really talented. It all hinges on Aaron Rodgers, and they really don't have any other backup. I'm kind of don't know which way to go, because if you see other quarterbacks his age, like Peyton Manning, I think he had way more interceptions and touchdowns, Drew Brees as well. It just goes on and on and on. It might be tough, but they are talented, though, and this is a make or break year for Saleh. I don't know if he's a good coach or not. I've been saying he hasn't been a good coach. I think Aaron's been a big Saleh guy, but I do have him right now winning the division.
I got Miami winning the division. I think Miami, like Jason said, they're going to get off to a hot start. It's going to be hot. You're going to be playing in 100-degree humidity. It's going to be 120 on the field. McDaniel's going to have you guys running around. A lot of motion, a lot of misdirection plays. Miami's a team that starts really strong, and it's going to be a war on attrition for them. Can they keep it going as we get into November, December, as it gets colder? Once teams kind of get more film on them, kind of get pick up their tendencies, what they're doing with all their motion scheme-wise, players get hurt, it gets colder. Speed's not as big as a factor when it's 10 below zero. But Tua, he's proven if he can stay healthy that he can move the ball and they can score points. They're going to score points again. They got ultra-talented players. Their O-line is good. Plenty of running backs, plenty of receivers, tight end, plenty of good offensive schemes. And defensively, they've got players, but they got a lot of players that have got hurt. Phillips coming off the Achilles. They lost, I believe it was Watkins to the Raiders. That was a big loss in their interior line. Also lost Vic Fangio as their defensive coordinator. So there's question marks for them, but I got the Dolphins winning the division. As for the Jets, Aaron Rodgers, I think they're going to be in the mix. This is going to be Aaron Rodgers try to go out with a bang, right? If he can get the Jets to the playoffs in a deep run into the Super Bowl, I mean, it's everything he wants. It's right there on the table. Everybody's writing him off. The same with Robert Saleh. I don't know how good of a coach he is. We know he was a good defensive coordinator. I think he's a good motivator. I think he's respected in the organization and the team.
Well, here's my argument for the Jets as well. They were 7-10 last year, and that team stunk like shit. They were just really disappointing to watch, game in and game out. If they have Aaron Rodgers, I think he's worth at least 3 more wins.
I think it could be, and I you'd have to check me, Rome, on the strength of schedule, but I think, like, I'm looking at the Jets schedule right now. Like, they could be a team that's 6-1, 5-2 out of the gate, and we're in New York's going to go crazy for where they're at. Besides the opening week for San Francisco, then they're going to play the Titans, then they're playing the Patriots, then they're playing Denver, then they're playing Minnesota, then they're playing Buffalo. Like, all of these are winnable games. Like,
yeah, they should be all wins. I mean, I believe they'll probably be favored in all those games.
I would think they're favored after San Francisco. They're probably favored all the way up to potentially week 9 when they're playing Houston at this point. So, if they're playing basically third place, last place schedule, and what they're at, like, they don't have a ton in front of them. They don't play in Miami until December, which, you know, I talk about it, but it will be a constant when you have these home games in Miami for whoever plays Miami in September when it's 1,000 degrees, like we've been talking about, but them playing Miami late in the year. So I think that's the thing for the Jets is they could be hot out of the gate if they don't blow any of these something very winnable games in September and October. I think they're a playoff team. I just think it's Miami's division to lose right now. And I think they have the edge at coach right now. Like, Saleh, I think he's great defensive, but I think McDaniel, superior right now from a coaching perspective.
So yeah, I think McDaniel. I think McDaniel is better to coach right now. You got to give him the edge. I mean, he's been in the playoffs twice. Hasn't won a playoff game yet, but he has been in the playoffs. And, you know, they know each other coming from the Shanahan system, the staff. They were the 49ers. Jets, that's right. Like, their schedule lines up great. When you finish bad in the division, you get an easier schedule. They're going to be favored, I think, every game going into that Houston one. And then they don't, like Jason said, they don't get Miami. They get Jacksonville and Miami back-to-back in Florida. So their schedule lines up good. They don't really have a lot of weak pieces outside of their offensive line, which they spend a lot of money on getting the veteran Tyron Smith from Dallas. They drafted a rookie. They got weapons on the outside. The running back Hall, Bruce Hall, is a beast. Obviously, Hackett at OC is a very questionable OC. But I think Aaron Rodgers can call his own plays and kind of, can get into his schemes. He knows what you're running. He's seen everything. He can get everybody lined up. I think the Jets could possibly steal his division, but I'm going to lean towards a more consistent team in Miami here. But I do have the Jets coming in second, and I do have the Jets as a wild card playoff team.
Cool. Do you guys say Jets over 9.5?
Yes.
Yeah.
Dolphins, fair to say, above 9.5 for both you guys?
Yes.
Yep.
Is that a given? Is that a lock?
I'd bet it.
I bet both of those.
Bills, 10.5.
Under.
I go under.
Under. I was going under anyways. I think, like as I mentioned, 9 or 10 best case scenario, but without the weapons, it's going to be pretty tough. And then Pats, they won 4 games last year.
I think they're winning 4 games this year.
I got them at 4 wins.
The over is 4.5.
I'll take the under, but I wouldn't bet it. I wouldn't bet it. I mean, we know Jacoby Brissett's going to play the opener. I think they're the biggest underdog week one at Cincy, like 8.5, 9-point dog. Drake May's going to come out there, but Jacoby Brissett's going to kind of take the licks, take the beatings. I'm not sure. I think the Patriots got a pretty tough schedule to start the year, too. That's kind of why I think they're going to sit Drake May. I think they come out of that stretch probably 1-5. And then Drake May, you'll probably see mid-October, maybe right before Halloween, and then kind of let him run with the keys and see what happens. But yeah, I'm not high on the Patriots.
Well, it depends on what you think about Seattle, which we'll get to later. But yeah, they open up at Cincy, at the Jets, at San Francisco, then Miami, Houston, Jacksonville, then Jets again. They're all playoff teams. They get a little break versus Tennessee. That might be winnable. Chicago, you got to imagine that they're going to lose there too. But
they're 100% going to lose there. So.
Yeah, I don't see too many wins there. I was listening to Bill Simmons' podcast, and this guy's like so down on his Pats right now. Already selling his stock.
I would say my family in New England is the same, but you know they had a good 20-year run.
It was a good run, dude. No, great I'm so sorry run. For you.
I know Boston majority. There, it's always like a complex, but about not having winners and stuff. But it's been the most successful city in sports, you know, for our entire adult life at this time. I think people our age like have seen nothing but winning coming out of the New England area. So I think the Patriots, they gotta add a ton of talent. You know, they're just right now it's a multi-year rebuild. I don't think they're walking to anything from a, you know, game changing perspective. They got rid of Judon, got some more future assets there.
That's a good trade.
Yeah. I was hoping he was gonna get to the Bears, but you know,
Hey, Bears have already been loading up on DNs for the last
they're nice.
Past couple years.
We have, but yeah, I don't think there's much more in the Patriots. I think they're definitely last. It's rebuilding. I think trying not to get May hurt early on, like Aaron talk to him, and then get him in there, you know, later in the year when they have, you know, potentially some more, you know, winnable games when they start playing at Tennessee, Indianapolis, you know, stuff like that.
Well, he didn't really play that much in college. If there's any quarterback that got drafted this past year that could use a year off, it's him. Just sit back, look at everyone else get pounded, lick the wounds, and then maybe come back and play next year. But we'll see what happens there.
I mean, Drake May's he's a project. I mean, he did play, you know, basically 2 years at North Carolina, but the level of competition he played against wasn't great.
Yeah.
When he played against good teams in the ACC and out of conference, he didn't play well. He's looked okay here in preseason, better than people thought, but, you know, he's going to get second and third string guys. No reason to throw him out there. This is a bad football team. It doesn't have a lot of offensive weapons. They don't have a good offensive line. Drake May is going to be running for a lot. You don't want to break his confidence early on and get him where he's just overthinking things. So I think sending him is a good idea.
Yeah, not worth it. Let's tackle the last division. AFC West. You got Chiefs, Chargers with the new Harbaugh hire, Raiders hiring their interim coach. A lot of mixed reviews coming out of there, whether they're going to be competitive or not. I think Aaron has some takes on that. And then Denver, another year quarterback.
I mean, Aaron's got takes on something, so that's what I want to hear right away.
I know, man. I don't know if it's controversial yet.
What is the take, man? I mean, my facts are just facts, man. Nothing controversy about it, dude. For the AFC West,
he's got sources on something, you know, from the sofa.
He got something.
Hey, everybody that's got a sofa is a source out there, man. If you got a sofa, you're a source. All you need is a phone and a number, and we're hitting you up, man. So I got sources everywhere. AFC West, man. AFC West, I got the Kansas City Chiefs, man. I mean, the Chiefs are the Super Bowl champs, 2-time, 3 of the last 4. They're the king of the hill, king of the division. I just don't see Chargers, Raiders, Broncos right now knocking them off that throne. So I'm taking the Chiefs to win that division.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much slam dunk that they win the division, which is crazy. I think if you think 2-3 years ago. This division stacked top to bottom. You have the Chargers making trades for Khalil Mack and everyone getting all these like edge rushers, you know, to try to compete against, you know, Mahomes and them. But now Mahomes and the Chiefs are still at the top. All other three teams have basically fallen off and are going on to different quarterbacks, different coaches, and kind of retooling it. I think it's a pretty much cakewalk that they run away with the division. I think, you know, those three teams are going to basically fighting for second place, but I wouldn't be surprised if like the Chiefs are the only winning team in that in that division at the same time this year. I mean, the other three could easily finish below 500.
Yeah, that's what happened last year. You got 2-8-9 teams. Chargers were last at 5-12. That was after a playoff year. Chiefs were 11-6, even though it was like an up and down year as well. They looked like crap in the playoffs until they got hot and luckily won the Super Bowl. That's my opinion. Their over-under is 11.5.
I have to pull up their schedule here.
I think they might take it easy because they know they basically won on the road whenever they wanted to last year. Kelce's a little bit older. They short up their wide receiver core. I think they know they got it when they need to turn it on.
It's a tough line, but I think their, you know, division games, if they go 6-0 in the division, you know, that makes it much more palatable. But then they're playing a first place schedule. So they got Baltimore week one, Cincinnati week two. So right out of the gates, they're playing the two top teams that we talked about in the NFC North. I think then they get probably a gift in Atlanta, but I think Atlanta's looking to do something this year with getting Kirk Cousins and a bunch of the weapons they have. So that's not, you know, a pushover game in week three. Then they're into their schedule, you know, into the division schedule with the Chargers and then a pretty winnable game in New Orleans. So, I mean, I think in division, you know, they can definitely put up some winnable games, and then they're going to play Carolina and Tampa Bay and a bunch of other winnable games there too. So I think it's right on the money. They got some really hard games, but interdivision games and a couple very good teams on the schedule at all. It's going to be right up against it, but I probably would lean over, but I don't know if I'd bet it.
I'd lean over too. 11.5. It's right there. They probably go 12-5. I think that week three game against Atlanta is a trap. Obviously they get the first two games with Baltimore and Cincy at home, especially if they win those games, you go into hot Atlanta on a Sunday night game, you know, the Falcons will be fired up for that one. That could be a trap game where they're kind of just like, hey, we just beat two playoff teams, two teams that have, you know, I don't believe Mahomes has ever beaten Joe Burrow in the regular season. So
he only beats him when it matters in the playoffs, man. Don't matter about the regular season games. Talk about the playoffs.
We're talking about playoffs.
And that split 1-1. I mean, if it wasn't for that dumb personal foul penalty, that game probably goes to overtime and Cincinnati probably wins that one too. Yep. It'll be interesting to see if Cincinnati does win that game week two, if it does get changed back from Arrowhead to Burrowhead. That'll be the headline coming out.
It all depends on how healthy Burrow is. If he looks kind of shaky the way he's kind of looked in a few of the
preseason. I think Burrow's going to look fine. He's going to look great against those New England Patriots on Sunday.
So I do got Chiefs winning that division as well, but I also have the Chargers possibly going over. They have 8.5 wins. New coach, maybe playoffs. They have the second easiest schedule in the NFL.
Chargers, man. Chargers are one of those teams. I don't have a really good read on them. They could do. They feel like a team that could go 7-10, maybe 10-7. I think they finished second in that division. I mean, they're defensively. Obviously, we know they're going to be a better coach with Harbaugh coming in and bringing everybody from pretty much Michigan over. But they lost a lot of talent. They have really no proven wide receivers outside of Palmer. They lost Mike Williams to the Jets, Keenan Allen to Jason's Bears. Two running backs that have been banged up in Edwards and Dobbins. I mean, Dobbins, he's played about as many games as I have over the last 3 years. And their offensive line obviously is stacked. And Herbert's, you know, a Pro Bowl quarterback. But I think for the Chargers, man, it's can they get enough offense from the pieces they have to be a team that can compete for a playoff spot, let alone get over 500?
Yeah, I think it's a tall ask. I think, you know, the Chargers are kind of like the punchline for, hey, the Chargers are going to charge her at some point. Does Harbaugh kind of change their luck and fortunes? But I think Herbert, you're kind of having the same conversation with Herbert that you are about Josh Allen, because Aaron mentioned all the weapons he lost. So cool. Who is Herbert going to elevate now? You know, with this go round, after he gets his big contract and, you know, be able to pay, you know, to be able to develop wide receivers, I think that's the big question for him. I don't see it in year one for Harbaugh. I think he's probably going to set a foundation. They're probably going to be really disciplined on defense and really make games difficult. But I don't know if they have the playmakers necessarily for everything they've lost on the offensive side of the ball to make the difference right now.
What do you guys think about the Raiders? They won 8 games last year, interim coach. They don't have a quarterback. But they do got Crosby on defense, some pretty big playmakers.
I think they're going to be better on defense.
A pretty favorable schedule as well.
I think they're going to be average on offense. I mean, like you mentioned, I mean, Minshew, he's up and down. You don't know what you're going to really get from him. He had some good years. Again, go back into Shane Steichen.
He was good
in Philadelphia. He worked with the Colts. He did well. Before that, we know he can be very turnover prone. Raiders are going to do what Antonio Pierce, they're going to bring physicality. They're going to play very similar to the Chargers, where it's going to be run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, try to run it down your throat, play good defense, and then try to hit a home run over the top with Davante Adams. And obviously they got the two tight ends. They got Myers, second-year guy out of Notre Dame, and Brock Bowers, the All-American out of Georgia. So they've got some decent weapons. Their O-line is not very good. Defensively, good D-linemen. They got a big pickup out of Miami from the Dolphins. They got no linebackers. Their secondary's always been bad, so that's always been a problem with them. I've got the Raiders. What's their win total this year?
So this changed. It went up a little bit. It's at 6.5 now. What was that? 5.5. And we got Denver at 5.5.
The Raiders feel like about a 7-win team to me. I mean, I think the Raiders probably can get 7 wins, maybe 8 again if they're fortunate enough. But I think they're on a borderline 6-7-win team.
Some people are picking them up. I don't have the odds in front of me. We got to find that out. But they're in the running for one of the worst teams in football. Same thing with Denver. Denver at 5.5, which I think is pretty low. They won 8 games last year. And I think they got a better quarterback, right?
I think Denver's going to be better than they were last year. I think Bo Nix is the Drew Brees 2.0. You're basically getting Drew Brees 2.0 with better movement, better mobility. I think he's got the smarts, basic same arm talent, and he's got the one common denominator, Sean Payton. I think the Broncos are going to surprise some people. I got him over 5.5 wins.
I can't wait for the bad Netflix movie for the sequel to the, you know, the Sean Payton movie that they had already, you know, about this story that Aaron's going to try to spin. I don't know about Bo Nix this first year with Sean Payton and whether, you know, I'm mixed on what they're doing in there, because you bring Sean Payton in to really fix what they had with Russell Wilson. And they say they bring him in and he just torpedoes the whole thing. And then wants to start all over again. Sean Payton's the quarterback whisperer, like you talked about. He made Drew Brees.
I don't think he is. It's
hard to go against his track record, but he made one guy. Are you having the you'll have the Brady Belichick conversation forever about, you know, Belichick didn't make Brady, but like, you know, did Payton make Brees, or did Brees make Payton look good? You know, I don't know, but I think both teams are bad. I think Bo Nix is going to have highs, but a lot of lows. I think, though, that the Broncos could potentially beat the Raiders in the division. Aaron's talking about Gardner Minshew and the stuff he did before, but when you look at Minshew and Aiden O'Connell, like, they don't have an NFL starting quarterback. They got two, you know, really good backups that are there. And
for sure,
Davante Adams ain't happy.
And if they're not
getting him the ball every day, like, I don't know what they're going to be able to do offensively. You know, I think Aaron's right for the defense from Antonio Pierce. I think that's what's going to keep them in games and make a lot of this stuff competitive and make them close to maybe the 7 or 8 win team that they were last year. But they got to be able to score points. Again, I think that's another thing where they're going to be playing the Chargers and they're playing the Broncos. Those interdivision games are what's going to be maybe some of the stuff they'll be able to win. But outside of that, if they have to play some more aggressive stuff, it's going to be a little harder.
One thing interesting about the AFC West, you always see like a lot of those season series being split. So I do think they'll get a win against the Chiefs. I do think they could possibly get a win against the Chargers. They're going to get some wins.
Well, they beat Kansas City last year, I believe, on Christmas Day.
I was happy.
You do have that going for you. I'm looking at the Broncos schedule right now. I just pulled it up. It's not too bad. I mean, Bo Nix, yeah, he's going to have ups and downs. But I think Bo Nix, like I said, I think over time, he started, 60-plus games in college.
He has experience. He's good. He's seasoned. It's not like a checkmate thing.
Yeah, he's played at the biggest levels. He played
in the
SEC. He's
already 38. He should be bright.
Played in the Pac-12. Like I said, he's He's Sean Payton's Drew Brees 2.0, exactly what Sean Payton needs. I think it's a max made in heaven. I think it's going to work out perfect for him. Probably not this year, but you know, give Sean Payton a lot of credit, man. He took Russell Wilson, who couldn't win with Hackett, got him to 8 wins, and then shipped him out of town and said, "Hey, Tomlin, you take on the scraps."
Okay, so we got Chiefs winning the division. Chargers, you guys sound like you're both under the 8.5 for them. I'm kind of torn on that one. Maybe I'll come back after the first few weeks. I do got them winning at least 8 games, so might be the under. Raiders, 6.5. Denver, 5.5.
I like Denver over 5.5. I got Chiefs winning the division, followed by Chargers, Broncos, Raiders finishing last.
I agree there.
I got that same order.
No, he said Raiders finishing last, right?
Oh, yeah, Raiders finished last.
Raiders finished last. Yeah, I agree with Aaron on that. I think the quarterback thing, as much as, you know, you're going to give Peyton credit for Bo Nix at a certain point, I don't think Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell is going to be the answer. I think they have the worst quarterback out of the four teams in the division.
Okay. Yeah, they got the worst quarterback for sure. So, dare I say it, the worst coach too in the division? Not a good combination.
If you go on reputation, yeah. I still don't think Sean Payton is shit, but we'll see. Another disappointing year.
You got Reed with Super Bowl ring. Harbaugh been to a Super Bowl, national championship ring, Peyton with a Super Bowl, and Antonio Pierce, he's got a Super Bowl ring with playing on the field, but not with the headset on.
All right, let's wrap up this division. Who's in the playoffs? Who's the wild card? Who's winning it? Who's in the AFC championship game? Who's representing it in the Super Bowl?
Well, our division winners, if you go back, I've got Cincinnati, Miami, the Chiefs, the Texans. So those are my four division winners. And for the wild card, I've got the Jets being in there as a wild card team. I'm going to take the Ravens as a wild card team. And I'll go Jacksonville as a wild card team.
Jacksonville.
Those are my 7 teams out of the AFC making the playoffs.
And who's in the championship game?
AFC championship game?
Yeah.
Houston Texans versus New York Jets.
Ooh, interesting.
And Aaron, do you want to reveal who you have going to the Super Bowl to Jason and everyone else?
Might as well. Houston Texans in the Super Bowl.
There we go.
Interesting. All right.
What you got, yeah, Jason? You look like you're a little stunned right now.
I'm not stunned. I mean, the Texans are going to, you know, they're going to lose week 2 to the Bears. I mean, that's a foregone conclusion there. But, yeah, I think you go back for the winners.
Yeah. Who you got?
I had the Ravens winning the North, Dolphins winning the East, Chiefs winning the West, and Texans winning the South. And I agree with Aaron. I think the Jets are a wild card team. We already talked about their schedule early. I think then the Bengals, agree with Aaron. They're at least a wild card team under the division, but they're a wild card team. It'll come down to, I think, Jacksonville and or probably Rome Steelers. And I want to make this, you know, because I picked them third, you know, in that. And the AFC North, I think, can deliver. This is going to be so boring, but I'm going to agree with Aaron. I think Jacksonville, they got the weaker interdivision schedule. They're going to be playing the Titans twice. They're going to be playing the Colts and some stuff. So I think we have
down,
the same.
Jason.
I know. We got the same 7 teams. That's not how you draw numbers there, but I think that's the way it shakes out.
Wise guys think alike, man. Wise guys think alike.
I guess I'll differ with Aaron. If you're looking at the AFC championship game, I think you're getting a repeat of the Chiefs. They're driving for 3 and then playing them to the Ravens again. I think it's the Raven where it's at. And I do think the Chiefs are going to go to the Super Bowl again. They're going to try to make it 3 in a row.
Wow. Okay. I do got the Jets winning the AFC.
So you got the Jets going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, man. He's going to. Okay. You said the AFC.
Don't.
They're going to the Super Bowl. I was ready.
The AFC is my bad.
Okay. I was ready for Rome to be running out with the American flag with Aaron Rodgers going to the Super Bowl, you know?
You know, I've torn both my ACL, so I don't think so. I don't want to.
He might be at Levi's Stadium with that Aaron Rodgers jersey on, if that's the case on Monday night.
Oh, man.
You know, I was thinking about picking actually the Jets for that game. Upset.
I like it.
I got Texas winning the South, of course. I do have the Chiefs, so we're unanimous on those two divisions. AFC North, unfortunately, I do have the Ravens winning it. I guess my better judgment. You know, every year there has to be at least three teams on each division that don't make it. And I just don't see the Dolphins making the playoffs again. And I don't see the Bills making it either. I got Jaguars as a wild card, as a 10-win team. I got my Steelers as a wild card.
Talking about bias. He was over here saying I'm biased. And now the Steelers are in the playoffs.
Hey, if it's behind Justin Fields, I will support former Bears quarterback Justin Fields, you know, leading you to the promised land.
You
know,
hey, Roman, you want to put a steak dinner on that Pittsburgh going to the playoffs or what, man?
Possibly.
I don't want to possibly, man. You got them in or not, man? You're confident or not, man?
Well, initially I had the Bills in there, but after looking at the schedule with you guys, you know, you guys talked me out of it. You know, it is a tough 6-week stretch, so... did I mention the Bengals already?
No. So you got the Bengals as your last team or seventh team, man. All right. So who's the AFC championship?
AFC championship. I think it's going to be Texans against the Ravens.
Okay.
And I got the Texans in the Super Bowl as well.
There you go.
I just think they're too loaded. They're too good. Great coaches. Talented. Even if guys go down, they're just really deep. Won the world more... stacked up teams, and I think they're hungry. This war of attrition comes down to the Chiefs. You know, they're not going to make it. They got lucky last year. They look like shit for the first three rounds. I don't see that happening again. Texans in the Super Bowl.
I mean, Chiefs, obviously, this back-to-back Super Bowl champs. They're going to be tough to beat, but everyone's going to be gunning for them. Everyone's going to give them their best shot. Losing their star cornerback is going to hurt them. They don't have as much depth at the wideout. Kelsey's getting a little older, starting a rookie tackle.
And he's breaking up with Taylor Swift, allegedly, later this month. I don't know if you guys heard that.
Oh, is that breaking news? Is that a source from the sofa?
It's already it was on Reddit earlier today, and then it broke down. And then it broke out on a Barstool that there's a PR release already planned for the breakup. The whole thing's a sham. Travis Kelsey is going to end up breaking his leg afterwards, and it's all over.
There you go, man.
The interesting thing with Kelsey this year, they've added some weapons in Kansas City. Rashee Rice, I think, is, you know, a playmaker they're had. They're going to get Hollywood Brown at a certain point. Like, how much are they going to load management Kelsey throughout this season just to have him, like, ready? Like, I think there's a real argument for that. Like, you know, a lot of people were talking retirement for him at the end of the year, but I really think there's an argument for, hey, they got some tough games early in the year. They put him out there, but then, hey, we start seeing them load management him throughout the season to make sure he's ready for the playoffs.
Tough games, but their wide receiver core is like 10 times better than last year. They still won 11 games. That's what kind of makes me a little worried that they will hit the over on that.
They're more talented, but I mean, Rice is a second year guy. Hollywood Brown, I mean, what big game has he ever played in? And he's always hurt. He's hurt again already.
Well, look at Juju. He did great over there.
I'm not buying Juju, man. He can't. I don't like him. And then Worthy's a speedster, but he's small. He's not much bigger than me. Weight-wise, I think he's about 165, 175 pounds. Can he handle the grind of the NFL season? There's a lot of question marks for Kansas City. Obviously, with Mahomes and Reed, they're going to be in the mix. But Kelsey, he's slowing down. The running back Pacheco's good. Their offensive line is questionable, starting a rookie, like I said, at tackle. It's going to be awfully tough to go and do a three-peat, man. Nobody's done it. I think all the odds are really against them. Baltimore was a better team last year, just had a bad game. I think right now, on talent, if you took Mahomes off that team, they're probably the fourth or best team talent-wise. With Mahomes and Reed, they can make up for a lot of stuff. But I'm not high on Kansas City this year. Their division's not strong, so I think they'll look good there. You're probably going to have to go into Arrowhead and beat them.
You were high like 20 minutes ago.
We'll see what happens.
All right. I kind of dig it. Let's take a little break, and then when we come back, we'll do the NFC. How do I pause this shit?
Keeping that in the pod.
Might as well.
I probably should. Yeah, it's pretty hilarious.